This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Former Daily Show reporter John Oliver's fake news show on HBO is bucking the odds. Just 6 months after its debut, Last Week Tonight is beating Real Time with Bill Maher in the ratings. John Oliver is arguably surpassing his former Comedy Central colleagues for going beyond the low-hanging fruit of the daily headlines and outdoing network news at digging deeper into stories that don't get much attention or time in mainstream journalism. This despite John Oliver's protest that it is not a news show, but a comedy show first and second. So what happens when comedy meets investigative journalism? That's the question that Aswin Supsang pondered in an article for The Daily Beast, where he is deputy social media editor. The name of the article spells it out. Last Week Tonight does real journalism, no matter what John Oliver says. Aswin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andrew Beaujean is also with us. He's media reporter for Pointer Online. Hello, Andrew.
Great to be here with you.
So let's start with you, Aswin. For those who have not seen Last Week Tonight, what sets John Oliver's show apart from The Daily Show?
Well, the show itself is usually couched in the same subgenre of television, I guess generally referred to as fake news, which of course includes The Colbert Report and The Daily Show. But what makes Last Week Tonight with John Oliver different is not only the long extended 15 to 17 minute pieces they have, which sort of take deep dives into subjects like the death penalty and net neutrality, but the fact that they actually do, despite their insistence that the show is just comedy first and comedy second and has nothing to do with journalism, they do things that do seem an awful like journalistic work. For example, they'll call the State Department to try to get a statement on Sharia law implementation Brunei, or they'll dig through hundreds of pages of tax forms to get to the bottom of claims that the Miss America pageant makes about how much money they give out in scholarships to women. So there is sort of an investigative element to some of their work that I think they're selling themselves short on for a whole host of reasons.
And it is on weekly. There are no interviews, no correspondence. So John Oliver is pretty much the voice of the program.
He is. And there are interviews, like he conducts them himself. For instance, he's interviewed Stephen Hawking for a segment, and he also had, for his very first episode, the exclusive first TV interview with retired General Keith Alexander. And it was the first interview Alexander gave after stepping down as head of the NSA. So, you know, pretty good get for an HBO half-hour comedy show. Mm.
All right, let's hear an example of one of the stories that you mentioned. This is Last Week Tonight. It's a clip from an episode that aired the week of the Miss America pageant. Let's hear it.
Miss America doesn't just say it's the biggest scholarship organization. It backs this up with numbers.
We're the nation's largest scholarship program for young women, with $45 million made available annually.
$45 million. That is an unbelievable amount of money. As in, I literally didn't believe that. It's the kind of number that can get stuck in your head and rattle around there for days, driving you crazy, making you wish, for instance, there was a way to find out more.
Find out more at missamericafoundation.org.
And that is where all this craziness began.
So they began, Andrew Beaujean. Where did they go? What did they find next?
Well, they started pulling 990s, which are the forms that nonprofits have to file with the IRS. And what they found was that very little of that $45 million that was, you know, notice the word available, was actually getting to people in the form of scholarships.
So as a journalist who follows journalists, is there evidence here that this was more than a comedy bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the kind of thing where, as a journalist, you kind of can't help but wish that you were able to get in on that story and start pulling documents and looking for the dirt.
What other evidence do you hear on the show of there being a real investigative journalism unit working on This Week Tonight?
Well, as Swin mentioned, there are a lot of interviews, you know, interviews that you don't get. There's a lot of what I would call explainer journalism, which is, you know, an underrated and really important part of journalism. He takes on topics the U.S. media barely touches, the Indian general election, for example, or the right to be forgotten, or native advertising. LGBT rights in Uganda, you know, there's a rich vein of stories that are being missed by other outlets that he's really laying out for U.S. viewers.
So, Asawin, would you say that that Miss America segment was an example of successful investigative journalism?
Well, it certainly dabbled a little bit, and it sort of admits by the end of it. John Oliver says that this is as far as we got because we got to this point 30 minutes before we had to tape this segment. So
yes,
they were sort of having fun with it, and they didn't dive into it to the way that, say, Andrew or I or one of our colleagues would. But, for example, when I asked Eric Wemple, who's the media reporter at the Washington Post, about the Miss America segment, he said to me, and I quote, "The pageant thing scarcely qualifies as anything but journalism."
Hmm. He admits he's working on Deadline. What does John Oliver say? Does he think this is journalism?
No. He and his staff categorically deny that they're a journalistic operation or organism by any standard. There could be many reasons for that, but I guess the main reason is the same way Jon Stewart of The Daily Show will never say that he's in any way, shape, or form a newsman, and he's just a comedian. Because the second you say you're committing random acts of journalism, you have to assume all the responsibilities and the standards of a journalist and what comedian or comedy writer wants to do that.
Mm.
So, you know, it's an interesting dodge.
The show does have a journalistic fact checker, senior news researcher Charles Wilson. Now, he's an alumnus of the New York Times and the New Yorker. Andrew, watching this, do you think that John Oliver is hiding behind this kind of protection of comedy?
No, I don't think so. I think that it just points to the fact that we really need to be a lot more Catholic in our definition of what is and what isn't journalism now. I think that that's, you know, like race, an increasingly meaningless distinction in U.S. public discourse. There are definitely things that a journalistic operation that wasn't a comedy show would have done differently there. Like, they probably would have tried to get in touch with the Miss America people. But, you know, I found it to be almost like a really good blog post in the way that, you know, they were reporting right up to Deadline. They just shot out what they had and left it out there for other people to pick up.
Well, not only did the show break the story on Miss America scholarship claims, but it also included a call to action. Let's hear that.
But it does seem that two things are true. One, Miss America gives out way less than $45 million in scholarships. And yet, two, whatever the number is, one thing does still seem to be troublingly true.
The Miss America organization is actually the largest provider of scholarships to women in the world.
Yeah, because even their lowest number is more than any other women-only scholarship that we could find. More than the Society of Women Engineers, whose website is here. More than the Patsy Mink Foundation, here. And more than the Jeanette Rankin Women's Scholarship Fund, here. All of which you can donate to if you want to change the fact that currently the biggest scholarship program exclusively for women in America requires you to be unmarried with a mint-condition uterus and also rewards working knowledge of buttock adhesive technology, which is just a little bit unsettling.
So what do you think there, Andrew? What are your thoughts on the kind of advocacy element of the show?
Well, you know, the thing that just occurs to me is it's been a couple weeks. I'd like somebody to get in touch with those organizations and see if they saw any uptick in donations.
So he is. He's playing a comedian. He's playing a journalist. He's playing a pundit in this case, asking for, making a call to action. Is he trying to do too much?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the overwhelming critique that we've seen of the media in the internet age is that we do too little. And I think his own show is a big comment on that. So I don't have any problem with him going from one end of the story to a side that would freak out a lot of journalists, like actually saying, like, here are some other organizations, donate to them.
You know, the Miss America pageant is one thing. Last Week Tonight also tackles heavier topics. I'm thinking of the U.S. drone program. Now, here's a clip. This is from the September 28th episode.
Look, it is completely natural for us not to want to think about the consequences of our drone program. But when children from other countries are telling us that we've made them fear the sky, it might be time to ask some hard questions. The problem is, after a week of looking at this, it seems there are shockingly few available answers. In fact, the best summation we could find of the framework we use to authorize and justify drone strikes is from this former Defense Department advisor.
Right now, we have the executive branch making a claim that it has the right to kill anyone anywhere on Earth at any time for secret reasons based on secret evidence in a secret process undertaken by unidentified officials. That frightens me.
Yeah. It probably does frighten you, because what you just described sounds fucking terrifying.
Well, Andrew, what do you think? Is there a danger to trying to tackle foreign policy in a 15-minute segment, you know, by people who aren't professional journalists? I mean, they could get in hot water.
Yeah, they could. And I thought the drone story was an interesting example of that. You know, I was watching that with my wife, who's a British citizen. And I think, you know, as kind of a side note, one of the best things about the Oliver show is it's an argument for diversity. Obviously, he's also a white male, but he's a foreigner, and he brings perspective you might not always get. When we were watching that show, I was really struck by our different takeaways. You know, she was a lot more outraged than I was, and it's just a good reminder that when you have people doing TV, doing journalism, who come from a different cultural background, you're going to get some different takes that you might not get normally from a more homogenous media.
If John Oliver did take off the comedy mask and said, yes, we're journalists, this is a show about, you know, we're exposing the truth, we're speaking truth to power, would the show have to change?
I don't think it would. In fact, the a professor who the AP interviewed about the show and the Miss America segment dubbed it, I believe, investigative comedy. Hmm. So I don't think the show would have to change that much in terms of what it is. It would just be a change in branding and maybe acknowledgement of what the three of us seem to believe it is.
What do you think, Andrew, if John Oliver took off that comedy mask and said, okay, this is a journalistic show, would it have to change?
Oh, I mean, who'd want to watch that, right? We already got The Guardian for stuff that we should be reading but don't want to. I think it's much better that this stays in the realm of entertainment.
Well, Andrew, you alluded to this earlier, but I'd love to hear both of your takes. Does John Oliver's success now expose anything about the limitations of more traditional journalism?
I mean, this came up with The Daily Show and The Colbert Report and even Real Time with Bill Maher all the time. Like, what is it saying about us that Americans are turning to commie shows more to get their news? I think that stuff is generally overblown. All the flaws with, like, more traditional news media, I don't think Last Week Tonight is stepping on their turf. It's its own thing.
Andrew, what do you think? Has comedy become a more effective way of communicating journalism, of communicating stories?
You know, it's an interesting thing because the whole show is kind of a meta comment on television journalism and how little context it can generally provide, which is why the one thing that I'd really like to see them do less of is rely on TV reports as narrative devices, you know, to kind of move the story forward the way that, you know, crummy Hollywood movies always do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them try to bring in some other forms of journalism, and I don't know what forms that would be, but I'm sure the good people at HBO have the money and person power to be able to give that some kind of thought, the kind of stuff that doesn't always, you know, show you somebody sitting in front of a holodesk saying something that may or may not be true.
Andrew Bojan, media reporter for Pointer Online, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Aswin Soupsang, deputy social media editor at The Daily Beast, thank you.
It's been real. Thank you.
We have a link to read Aswin's article Last Week Tonight, Does Real Journalism, No Matter What John Oliver Says? It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Now, if you remember, Andrew Bojan mentioned that he'd like to know whether any of John Oliver's calls to action have had any real-world effect. In his segment on Miss America scholarship claims, Oliver suggested giving to a few different organizations that offer women-only scholarships without making a swimsuit competition an eligibility requirement. One of the groups that he mentioned is the Society of Women Engineers. We followed up with the organization, which offers scholarships to women pursuing careers in engineering. Here's CEO and Executive Director Karen Hording.
We saw a huge amount of traffic to our website and also an increase in donations. We had almost 45,000 in donations in just a couple of days. In terms of individual giving, that's probably more than a quarter of what we would do in a full year.
Now, having benefited from what's being called the John Oliver bump, we asked Karen what she thought about the show's investigative comedy and that divide between journalism and entertainment.
It's it's definitely more of an entertainment type show. But what we're doing here at the Society of Women Engineers is very serious. So for us, what started out as something perhaps maybe more light turned into something very positive for, you know, a serious problem that the country has, which is not enough women pursuing these sorts of careers.
Karen Horting there, CEO and Executive Director of the Society of Women Engineers. So, John Oliver's show, Last Week Tonight, breaks news stories, may give nonprofits the John Oliver bump, and can be downright prophetic, even when poking fun at an issue. Back in August, Last Week Tonight aired a segment about the militarization of police response to protests in Ferguson, Missouri.
Since 1996, in response to the war on drugs, the Department of Defense transferred $4.3 billion in military equipment to local and state police. After 9/11, the Department of Homeland Security made additional equipment available to local law enforcement through federal funds for terrorism prevention.
That's right. And this has happened on such a scale that it's enabled small towns like Keene, New Hampshire, to apply for a Bearcat, a military-grade armoured personnel truck, which they needed because, as their application argued, the terrorism threat is far-reaching and often unforeseen, and cited as a possible target their annual pumpkin festival.
John Oliver there clearly making fun of Keene, New Hampshire's Bearcat. Little did he know that riots would break out on the streets of Keene right about pumpkin festival time. For the record, the Keene Police Department did not bring out the Bearcat, even when taunted to do so. Okay, then, word of mouth is going to stay in the wilds of New Hampshire with DJ, producer, and electronic musician Juan McLean. When he is not jet-setting across the globe to play clubs, he lives under the radar, right here on the New Hampshire seacoast. A conversation with Juan McLean when Word of Mouth continues.